Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Ding dong, the witch is dead, the witch is dead, the witch is dead. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. I'm not so sure that's how we should react when a really nasty person dies. You might have heard this. Welcome to the show. It's Steve Noble. It's called Action Radio. Charles Manson has died. Charles Manson died in a Bakersfield, California hospital, died on Sunday. At 83 years of age, of course, the notorious leader of the Manson family cult. They murdered Sharon Tate and six others in 1969. He sent them to do it. He didn't have the guts to do it himself. And then has been in prison. He actually got the death penalty. And then the U.S. Supreme Court knocked the death penalty down. And then federalism was still working at the time. And so states came back around because we still have capital punishment, the death penalty in various states. But he was on death row along with several other members of his little posse there. And then the Supreme Court overturned, flat out overturned across the country, which is not constitutional. The Supreme Court shouldn't be able to do that. That's called an oligarchy when a small group of very powerful people run a country. All those sentences got overturned and they got life in prison. Well, he just died. And so the day after, remember when Osama bin Laden was shot and killed? And that was great. That was a great, piece of justice that was being done. It needed to be done. And in whether he repented and turned to Jesus Christ in the end or not, he was reaping the full penalty of his sin. And but that night when he was shot and killed by our brave Navy SEALs, it was SEAL Team 6, there was an impromptu celebration outside of the White House. And you would have thought it was some Donald Trump folks there, because it was USA, USA. They're waving the flags, and there's a little impromptu on the back lawn over closer to the Washington Monument. There's a little impromptu celebration there. And whereas on one hand, I'm like, yeah, it's great. He needed to be taken out. He needed to be dealt a hand of justice here on the earth. But on the other side of it, my gospel side of it, stop for a minute and says, you know, should we really be, shooting off fireworks when somebody, anybody goes to hell? Is that, ding dong, the witch is dead. He got what he deserved, right? But for the grace of God, there go I, right? Such were some of you. Now we say, of course, I would never compare any of you to Charles Manson, except that the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. So that's why Jesus raised the bar on everybody. You've heard it said, it is written, thou shalt not kill, right? But I'm telling you, if you hate somebody, you've murdered them in your heart. So he goes right to the heart. So I just, on one hand, and I just wanted to open with this because I always want to take an opportunity to kind of test where we're at as gospel, allegedly gospel-centered people, and how we deal with the news of the day. How do we interact with the news of the day? Do we dive into our flesh? And I mean, I tell you, the first time I saw that he was dead, I said, good, good. And then somebody else, I can't remember what news site, you know, it was Charles Manson's eternal state in hell begins today. You know, and that, yes, if he's in hell, and most likely he is reaping what he has sown. Galatians chapter 6, he's reaping what he's sown. But do we take glee in that? You know, when Jesus leaves the 99 and goes after the one, God's desire is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think we always should be, as gospel-centered people. Listen, who gets vengeance? Vengeance belongs to you. Vengeance belongs to me. Vengeance belongs to the criminal justice system. Vengeance belongs to President Trump or Kim Jong, whatever, or who does vengeance belong to? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And that's where probably 10 years ago I would have said, yeah, he's dead, good. You know, have a nice time in hell, dude. I mean, that's literally where I probably would have been 10 years ago. But God has just worked on my heart over the years, and I just can't take it that lightly anymore. Even when somebody as terrible, horrific as a Charles Manson, when he dies, I think we can say, you know what? I think that's probably earthly justice, most likely eternal justice. There is always eternal justice. Every account will be settled by the Lord himself, whether it's you paying for it forever in eternal separation and what the Bible calls hell, or Jesus already paid for it on the cross, took all of your junk, all of my junk, all of Charles Manson's sin onto himself on the cross. But that's not activated for you until you become a born-again Christian. So either Jesus paid or you're going to pay forever. Well, either Jesus paid for Charles Manson's sins, if Charles Manson actually repented and turned from that, which there's no indication that he ever did that. He said, why should I apologize after what you people did to me? Now, here's the other interesting thing, and I'll get off of this. If you study a little bit about Charles Manson's upbringing, it was brutal, broken, messed up home. He was out on the streets as a young teenager. And yes, he's fully responsible for his activities. But just another example of when we thrash away at God's design, you tear families apart, and you ramp divorce up and bitterness and lack of forgiveness and no reconciliation and no God and no gospel, and families fall apart. We fill prisons and people die. That's what happens. So yet another person who is the who bore the result of other people's sin and then turned to it himself and became a mass murderer and died and is most likely in hell. And whereas I think he served his time and that's done and let's get behind us. But as a gospel-centered person, I'm not going to, pop a bottle of champagne and celebrate when anybody goes to hell. Okay, I don't think any of us should do that. We should be sober-minded and we should be, it should be a somber moment. Not a celebration, and let's remember that vengeance is the Lord's. Okay, so let's set that aside. Let's go to something nice. I shared this on Facebook, I think yesterday, facebook.com/C2A Radio, and it's a picture in the White House with President Trump praying with the University of Oklahoma softball team, the girls' softball team, and they're all sitting there, all got their arms around each other, and I think Betsy DeVos is there, and Donald Trump's there, and they're all praying together. And I saw that one, and I'm a 60-40 Donald Trump guy. I've liked about 60% of what he's done, 40% I haven't been so thrilled with, and he's got an inept Congress, obviously. But that was a very encouraging picture. I love seeing that. I think, prayer is definitely back in the White House. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, President Trump. And you wait. Over the next 30 days, you're going to see more Merry Christmases coming out of the White House. Christmas will definitely be back in the White House in a big way. Don't look for the Ramadan festival. Don't look for all the other stuff. You're going to see Jesus probably somewhere. There might be a manger scene in the Oval Office. Who knows? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
Let's try it all together. One, two. One, two.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, we're there right now. You can kind of look here into the studio. That's facebook.com/C2A Radio. Just all run together. The letter C, the number 2, the letter A, as in called to action. So facebook.com/C2A Radio. You can join us there. And I was just mentioning the Oklahoma Sooners. They actually had 4 championship teams in the White House the other day, and Donald Trump invited all these collegiate teams, all these champions to come in, which is great. And a few schools here and there refused to go, like our school here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, University of North Carolina. What a shock that they would refuse to go. And, and that's they make it all about the president. And listen, if you're a conservative like me, and if Obama had invited me to the White House, would I have gone? Yeah, I would have gone. I would have liked this team. I think I'd like to think I would have asked for the opportunity to pray for him. And I definitely would have been praying a gospel-centered prayer. But I think it's awesome that they did this. Kudos to the team for asking to pray. And it's just a great moment. Like I said at the end of the last segment, get ready. This will be the most Christmassy Christmas at the White House that we've seen in a while. And Donald Trump talked about that back on the campaign trail. So it's going to be really interesting. Museum of the Bible. Let me go back there for a minute. I talked about it last week. I was there last Monday with 2 of our kids. We had an opportunity to be up there and be up there before it opened to the public, which was on Saturday. And you're hearing floating around a couple things. So I just want to address a couple things with you. Number one, when it comes to tickets, I was just looking online. So if you go to museumofthebible.org and reserve free tickets, which they can be free if you go, there's a suggested donation of $15 per ticket. And I would strongly encourage you, if you get up there, and hopefully you will, you know, sometime in the near future, it's going to be there a while, God willing, but get up there and donate, because that's $500 million. Yes, it's the Hobby Lobby family, the Green family. They have a lot of money, but they're still pouring an unbelievable, and we need to come behind that and be a part of it. It's got ongoing costs. So if you go, just an encouragement to make sure you donate at least something. But anyway, you keep hearing online, you can't get tickets. You can't get tickets for months and blah, blah, blah. Yes, you can. I was just looking at Wednesday, December 3rd or 4th, and there's different time slots available that you have to go and get your tickets and go in and start during that time slot. But they're still available. So don't let go, it's not possible, I can't even get over there. If you go to museumofthebible.org, right on the homepage, reserve free tickets and go there. So the other thing that's been going on out there is that for some people, the museum, like I'm looking at a Reuters story, Washington's new Museum of the Bible aims to inform, not preach. So you're not going to find it when you go, this overtly one room after another preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the Museum of the Bible. Now, obviously, both the Old and the New Testament points to Jesus Christ. Personally, I would like it to be a little more evangelistic than it is, but it's not devoid of it because it is the Bible. And the Bible overtly is evangelistic and is pointing, the Old Testament points forward to the cross, the New Testament points back to the cross, and eventually to Jesus's return. So it's really powerful from that perspective, and it isn't there to satisfy your need or my need to see it be evangelistic. Because the last time I checked, God didn't say, go build a museum and that will preach the gospel. No, that's not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is that you, me, us, people, not buildings, we go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey all his commands. That's our job, not the Museum of the Bible. So don't fall into that trap, which there's a bunch of naysayers out there and atheists and agnostics and liberal theologians that don't like that and people that would call themselves Christians but don't ascribe to the scriptures. They just kind of make it up as they go along. Trust me, when you go, you will love it. It will encourage you. It will bless you as a Christian. Just to see the nicest, most high-tech, most spectacular museum, probably in all of America, but three blocks away from the nation's capital, all about the Bible. God is using it, and he will continue to use it, and it will gain a hearing, I believe, with people that, you know, 76% of Americans say, hey, Steve, I'm a Christian. But you start getting into that. Well, what does that mean exactly? And you'll find out that a much lower percentage of Americans are actually biblical Christ followers. So don't listen to the naysayers. Go for yourself and do your own homework. Go experience the Museum of the Bible on your own. And I can guarantee you, you will be blown away. Okay, here's another thing. Here's another positive thing on President Trump. This didn't get covered much. An $83 billion deal. The media has largely ignored a significant $83.7 billion economic game changer President Donald Trump helped broker with China during his 12-day trip to Asia that's poised to create numerous petrochemical projects in West Virginia over the next 20 years, which they need it because they were under attack because of the coal industry. This was in a New York Post opinion piece over the weekend. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping witnessed the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding on Thursday, last Thursday, between West Virginia Secretary of Commerce H. Wood Thrasher and a representative of China Energy. The investment is part of several Chinese investments totaling $250 billion the president has helped negotiate. So we're watching something that we've never seen before, a U.S. president dealing with China in the Pacific Rim the way that he has. He's America first, and he tells everybody else, your country should come first. But we're not going to be your lapdog, and we're not going to take it laying down, and we're not going to do all these multilateral agreements. We're going to deal with you one-on-one. And that's his deal, the art of the deal. He's a real estate mogul. That's his language. That's what he knows how to do and do it well, which allowed him to, you know, become worth $4 billion. So that didn't show up anywhere. The BBC and CNN reported the story in their business sections, and the New York Times ran a short Associated Press story giving it a low-key placement and muted headlines. What's up with that? Well, first of all, because it's Donald Trump and the mainstream media doesn't want to give him any props. Second of all, the Rhino establishment, the Republican establishment, all the establishment up on the Hill doesn't want to give him any props. And they don't like the fact that it's a business guy coming in doing what a business guy does best. And it gets the business. But that's not a surprise. But I wanted to make sure you knew that. Let's give our presidents some props for that. And then one other thing. And what do you think about this? So this Donald Trump getting into it, because this is the Twitter game that he likes to play. Trump lashes from the Daily Wire. Trump lashes out at UCLA basketball player's dad for criticizing president's involvement in son's release. And then Trump came back with a tweet, you know, I should have left him in jail. So one of the player's dads who's been kind of goofy in the past. So at first Trump thanked them for thanking him in their press conference. But on Saturday, LeVar Bell suggested that Trump's, this is the father of one of the players, Trump's involvement was minimal. Who? Ball asked. After somebody suggested Trump help rescue his son from trouble, what was he over there for? Don't tell me nothing. Everybody wants to make it seem like he helped me out. Ball went on to suggest that his son's crime was unimportant. Shoplifting Louis Vuitton glasses in China is unimportant for an American citizen who's over there with a big spotlight on his head because he's a basketball player. Quote, as long as my boy's back here, I'm fine, Ball said. I'm happy with how things were handled. A lot of people like to say a lot of things that they thought happened over there. Like I told them, they try to make a big deal out of nothing sometimes. I'm from L.A. I've seen a lot worse things happen than a guy taking some glasses. Now, the fact that he minimizes, golly, you're a recognizable, big-time college basketball player from UCLA. You're in China to play basketball. The spotlight's on you, and it's no big deal that you lifted some Louis Vuitton glasses in a communist country? Are you kidding me? So a couple more things on that and Trump's reply. And then a few more stories. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again. I hope you are preparing and expecting a wonderful Thanksgiving this week. And on Wednesday on Call to Action Radio, we'll do what we do every year. We'll just open up the phone lines on Wednesday, and I'll ask you a very simple question. Name one of the things you're most thankful for since last Thanksgiving. I do that every year. I've done that for years here on the radio show. And just to take a moment to give God our props publicly and to do it on the airwaves. On the various stations that we're on and on Facebook Live and stuff. And I think we all should be excited about the opportunity to praise the Lord and thank him publicly for what he's been doing in our lives. So that's we'll do that on Wednesday. Tomorrow on the show, I don't know yet. I'll check in with me tomorrow, and you'll know when I go live on the air and we'll do the show together then. So just finishing up that conversation about Trump lashing out at the UCLA basketball player's dad, who said just stupid stuff, to be quite blunt about it. And then Trump's tweet yesterday afternoon, now that the three basketball players are out of China and saved from years in jail, LeVar Ball, the father of LiAngelo, one of the players, is unaccepting of what I did for his son, and that shoplifting is no big deal. I should have left them in jail. And so that's, I mean, for me personally, I wish the president wouldn't jump on all that kind of stuff. I'm like, listen, dude, the Korean Peninsula is, you know, threatening to go nuclear. We have our problems with Russia. We have a tax reform and budget bill in the House and the Senate that's got as many holes in it as a good piece of Swiss cheese. All these kind of cultural issues, all kinds of things going on. And some basketball player's dad, who's an idiot anyway, God bless him. It is, you know, really? Now, other people are like, yeah, put him in his place. You know, I think that's when I vote for a president, I don't really want him or expect him to spend a lot of time speaking into every idiotic statement made by every American citizen that has something to do with him. To me, that's just a waste of the time. And like, hey, you know, don't bill us for that hour or whatever. It takes him a few seconds. But that's just where I'm at. So that, and whenever I see that, I'm just like, okay. But I'm not going to die on that hill. It is who he is. And that's just the way it goes. Did you see this story? Now, this is talk about reaping and sowing. So the former IRS official Lois Lerner and her deputy are asking a federal court to keep their testimonies in the Tea Party targeting case private forever over fear of death threats and potential harm to their families if the documents go public. Lerner and her deputy Holly Paz filed a motion last Thursday to keep the materials, including tapes and transcripts of their depositions sealed due to threats they have received in the past. Court documents, which were reviewed by Fox News, which is where I'm reading the story, said the public dissemination of their deposition testimony would expose them and their families to harassment and a credible risk of violence and physical harm. And it goes on to talk about that. And the other thing is there that they didn't tell the truth. They covered this stuff up. They used the IRS, the most potent weapon in the federal government, other than the military itself, but certainly in the executive branch, the most potent weapon the White House has, if they want to turn it into a weapon, which largely it is normally. But under the Obama administration, talk about assault rifles, assault weapons. That's what they turned the IRS into. It was turned into an assault weapon with a really, really large clip that held really high caliber weapons that went bullets that went after Tea Party patriots and other Tea Party groups and other 501c3s that or c4s even that they didn't like. That's harassment. That's intimidation. I mean, there's federal laws against that kind of stuff. Except when, of course, it's the federal government abusing the law. So is it concerning that they would get death threats? Well, there's idiots out there. I've gotten really nasty things said before and things about my family for various positions I've taken on the air or opinions I've shared on the air. And, hey, Lois, this is reaping and sowing, ma'am. Now, I don't think anybody obviously should be doing any damage to these people. But now you just want to bury it and not have to deal with it and hide it? That's very Clinton-esque of you, by the way. But, I think that they deserve to feel safe, of course. But what do you expect when you use a significant portion of the executive branch as a weapon to intimidate people that oppose your view? And in this case, your boss's view. I guarantee you that went all the way up to the top, right into the White House, right into the Oval Office. So now they're reaping what they've sown. And I certainly don't wish them any ill will in terms of violence. That would be a horrific way to do it. And people say stupid stuff all the time. And especially if you're threatening a president, that's happened time and time again. Ask Kathy Griffin, because she got hammered by the Secret Service. I called the Secret Service that day, and other people were calling. And then just recently, it was Snoop Dogg who put out an album cover that had a body like in a under the sheet, like at a morgue, and had the toe tag on it that said Trump. Now, I called the Secret Service, other people, and the Secret Service was like, yeah, are you calling about the Snoop Dogg thing? Yeah, I don't care whether it's President Trump or President Obama or whatever president it is. You don't do veiled threats against the President of the United States. That's against the law. So Lois Lerner and Holly Paz, I wish you no ill harm in terms of your physical health and everything, of course, but you're reaping what you've sown. Sad to say, but that's exactly what's going on. So that's happening out there. And you're right, Catherine on Facebook Live, they should be in jail. Absolutely. Absolutely. They should be in jail. And so unequal weights and measures, right? So that's, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that we have people that are now saying, back when Bill Clinton had his little tryst with Monica Lewinsky and, all his sexual impropriety and assault and most likely rape before that. Yeah, he probably shouldn't have served out his term. He probably should have resigned, i.e. Al Franken. You think you have some moral authority 20 years later and that we're going to give you some props because of what's going on in the news today that all of a sudden you go, yeah, he should have stepped down. We should have called for him to step. Are you kidding me? By the way, any member of the Democrat Party, personally, from my viewpoint, doesn't have any moral authority anyway, because we are talking about the same Democrat Party that is flying underneath a flag soaked in the blood of the unborn. So I don't quite bluntly, I don't care how many people they try to help in welfare. I don't care how many people they try to help with food stamps or unemployment or whatever else the government system is to help people that are down and out. All that stuff compared to 60 million dead babies that you've championed and applauded and funded and protected. That's your sacred cow. That's your religion, it sure seems. And you think you have any moral authority to talk about anything else? You don't just turn that off. And so that's what people said. Hey, you know what? Only 3% of what Planned Now I'm just going to get on my soapbox here for a second. Only 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions. Wow, that's right. 97% of the time, they're doing awesome stuff. Pap smears and mammograms. Oh, hold on a second. That's right. Planned Parenthood doesn't perform a single mammogram. They refer that out. So pap smears, STD tests, stuff like that. Giving out condoms, giving out birth control pills. So 97% of their transactions are not killing babies. But 3% are. So if you want to laugh at that statistic, which they've run up the flagpole over and over again, and want to join me in a hearty laugh, here's how you do it. And I'll use President Trump and his daughter as an example. So let's go back before I was married and before, let's say, Ivanka was married. And I have an opportunity to go on a date with Ivanka. Hey, Mr. Trump, it's nice to meet you. So, Steve, before you go out with Ivanka, I just have a couple questions for you. Yes, sir. What do you do with your time? Steve, tell me about what you do with your time. Well, Mr. Trump, I'm so glad you asked. 97% of my time, I split amongst a couple of things. I work in a soup kitchen, and I also run a little office for people to help them get their GED and find a job, and I help other unemployed people retrain and find jobs. And I spend, you know, most of my time doing that. Yeah, Steve, 97% of your time. That's awesome. Wow, that's incredible. Wow, I'm so glad that my daughter's going to go out with you. Well, one more question before you leave. What do you do with the other 3% of your time? You know, 97% of your time, what you do, that's just incredible. Wow. I'm blown away by that. But what about the last 3%, Steve? What do you do with that? Well, you know, well, Mr. Trump, I mean, it's a great question. You know, I got to answer it, but it's only 3%. Let me just remind you. It's only 3% of what I do. 97%, like, you know, I saw 3%. So 3%, what I do is, I hire myself out to kill people's children who they just don't want to deal with anymore. But it's only 3%. It's only 3% of my time. 97% of my time, I'm retraining people, helping them get a job. I'm working at the soup kitchen. So really, it's just 3%, Mr. Trump. 3% of my time I spend hiring myself out to kill children whose parents are frustrated and just don't want to deal with them anymore. And it doesn't matter what their age, you know, 15, 10, 8, 5, 4, 1, 6 months, but it's only 3% of my time. Okay. So the next time somebody tells you that it's only 3%, because they're drawing a moral equivalent, the 3% moral equivalence versus the 97% pap smears and stuff. Oh, no big deal. Except killing babies and tearing them apart in the womb, not exactly on the same moral standings as a pap smear. Goodness gracious. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. Looking forward to, I hope you are, a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday this week, and then Christmas right around the corner. We'll be doing some theology of Christmas in the coming weeks with some outstanding pastors, so I'm excited about that. And then this Wednesday, we'll do our annual Thanksgiving show, which is just open up the phone lines, and what are you, one of the things that you're most thankful for that the Lord has done in your life or your family's life, somebody that means something to you, a husband, wife, son or daughter, friend, whatever. And we'll just spend the hour together on Wednesday praising the Lord and thanking him publicly for what he's done in our lives. And then I'm going to go to my buddy David Fisher here in just a second. Just a reminder, especially for all my Truth Radio friends in North Carolina, Orrick of the Carolinas, the famous vacuum cleaner company, has been around since 1963, a great new partner here on our Truth Radio affiliates in North Carolina. So just a reminder about them, and obviously it's an outstanding product, and have used Oryx for years, have one, a new one at home now called the Magnesium. That's the one I keep joking about that they say is lighter than a gallon of milk, except it is. And it works fabulously. I just used it on Saturday before my wife got back from the Holy Land tour. You know, we got to clean the house. So I love using that thing. It works great. They have some great specials for Truth Radio listeners in North Carolina. So just go to their website, oryccarolinas.com. OryckCarolinas.com and find out about all those things. And then, by the way, on the heels of Veterans Day, they always have 5% off on everything they do for active duty and vets, which is awesome. Let's do a Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Very, very good. Thank you.
It's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. What are you guys doing this week for Thanksgiving? And I'm going to go ahead and ask you that question now. What are you most thankful for? What are the things you're most thankful for in the last year that God has done in your life?
Probably the most recent. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but the most recent, as you know, Steve, my son Eric, who's 23, had all the signs, 7 out of 8, of having a stroke in my office moments before going on another national radio show, and the paramedics came, and, you know, the body of Christ prayed.
Yes.
And in between the time that he had a stroke, there was a lot of people that heard about this and prayed, and then we had testing done, and the doctors show no signs of having a stroke. So I'm very thankful for that. He's not fully recovered yet, but he's made about a 90% recovery, and I think the rest is just going to come in time.
Yeah, amen. And we praise the Lord for that and keep praying for David and his wife and their son, Eric, and let's keep lifting them up in prayer. I know we want to start today, as we always do, on an update with a passage of Scripture. I love that. I love this that we start this way, David. I appreciate that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's go there right quick.
Give thanks in all circumstances. And I want to insinuate and boldly say all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, it's one thing. I have a saying here, Steve, that I used to counsel men as my ministry, one of many things I did when I was a pastor full-time. The measure of a man is not determined how far he falls and what happens when he's there, but how high he jumps, how high he bounces. But you got to be thankful in those times when you're in the darkest depths of your life, and that's when, you know, a thankful heart, a humble heart, in good times and challenging times, there's something about that that God can do great miracles in those times. So I'm thankful for the challenges. Do we want the challenges? No, but I'm thankful that the Lord is trying to show us something in challenges. I give him praise in the good times, and you know, we have challenging markets, we have challenging life, and we just need to give thanks.
Amen. Yeah, and that reminds me of Romans 5. Not only that, I'm looking at it right now, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So no matter whether they're good times or bad times, God is always at work developing our character, and we need to praise him for that. So let's dive in. We'll jump across the pond. I know you've been following the European Central Bank and the announcement of restriction money. So tell us about that, and that's a big deal, not only over there, but over here too.
Yeah, so imagine this would be the equivalency of the Federal Reserve saying this announcement, Steve, that they're going to take away any sort of insurance deposit. So this is, there's no now any protection on any bail-ins happening. And the actual quote is this from the report. It says, covered deposits and claims under investor compensation scheme should be replaced by limited discretionary exemptions to be granted by the competent authority in order to retain a degree of flexibility. They went on and amended that, and they added this. During a transitional period, depositors should have access to an appropriate amount of their covered deposits to cover the cost of living within 5 working days of a request. So imagine the bank, you can't get your money, and you have to put a request in, and we'll give you the answer in 5 days if you're requesting an appropriate amount for your situation.
We'll tell you what's appropriate for what you need to live on.
Why is this important to us? We live in a global market. Why is the European Monetary Union doing this? It either says that banks are in trouble or we're headed into trouble, and they're going to put the depositor, the people who have their money in the bank, on the hook. What happened in Europe with the bail-in, we followed, unfortunately, in the setup of the blueprint in our country. I'm watching the FDIC now and the Fed, what they might say in reference to this, to see if there's any changes. I'll keep my eyes on it for all of our listeners.
Yeah, and of course, with the FDIC, I mean, they see things going on in Europe, and they get away with it with minimal backlash from the public, and then, you know, they start scratching the head. I wonder if we could give ourselves some flexibility here. And then wouldn't that be great for the FDIC to decide, what's appropriate for the rest of us in terms of access to our own money. That's why we talk to David every week. Jesus talked a lot about money. Money and possessions is all over the scriptures, and that's why we do this once a week with David Fisher. And again, their website for more information, landmarkgold.com. And the House, of course, passed the 2018 tax bill provisions late last week, David. And some say it's great. You know, they say, hey, it gives the middle class a $4,000 tax relief. Other people are saying it's a big boondoggle for the ultra wealthy. So from your perspective in the investment world, is it a good bill or is it not?
Well, I don't think it's black and white like that. Unfortunately, it was presented to us originally as a black and white thing,
right.
A tax break for the middle income, and it was supposed to make it a lot simpler. It's really gray and foggy. I had my CPA, on a side note, run numbers on it as if I was paying, made the same amount of deductions, everything under the new criteria. My taxes went up 22%. So for me, it wasn't a good thing, but I'm fine with taxes going up 22% if, as long as we can make an agreement that the country lowers the debt by 22% or stops spending by 22%. So if we're going to put skin in the game, I want to see some skin from the other side.
Yeah, we just don't want the black hole to get 22% bigger.
Yeah, and just, unfortunately, that's what happens. This is a 440-page legislation. No Democrat voted for it. 13 Republicans said no. There is an age-old fight. You know, does the wealthy get wealthier? Yes, in the portion of this bill. If you live in New York and you have you're a residential developer and property, you get to have your depreciation costs that right now. You depreciate over 50 years, you can shorten that term to 28 years, which means a higher depreciation.
Yeah.
So it's good for real estate developers. I'm not blaming Trump because he didn't put this together. This
right.
is the House.
That's right.
What
do you think is going to happen next? Because now it goes into conference, and now you're going to have the House and the Senate and a conference committee going at each other on this. Where do you think it's going to land?
Well, there's a lot of heat behind it. In fact, last week in the Senate Finance Committee, there was a verbal brawl that went out between Brown and Hatch, and Hatch is the chair of the Senate Finance Committee. And the age old thing is the wealthy are getting wealthier, and what's happening to the middle to lower income person? The gap is getting bigger, and this bill does make that gap bigger, in my opinion. It's going to go to conference. Unfortunately, the House and the Senate are very close in both of their bills, so I think we're going to see a pass. And I think there's going to be some benefit in it, but it didn't hit the bullseye originally, Steve, what was presented to us in the campaign in 2016 and what happened today as President Trump campaigned for this in 2017. I think we're very far off that mark, but
yeah.
Time will tell. We'll see what benefit we get in growth of job growth and economic growth.
Yeah, and sadly, it hit dead center in the middle of the target for Washington, D.C., over-promising and undelivering, and not delivering. So they're... You can almost bank on that every single time. What about the bond market? We keep talking about a bubble in the bond market. What's up with that, David?
Well, now we're having some more proof of that. I've been talking about it. Last week, $6.4 billion of money flowed out of the U.S. bond market, the third largest of outflow in history. So the bondholders are they're seeing the problem. The old adage that holds true, the bigger fool that holds the bag will become that bigger fool. So nobody wants to be that. So they're exiting the market in a mass level. We'll see how this could actually create problems for the bond market. But, you know, Chairman Janet Yellen stepped down today from officially. She announced she's not going to be a part of the Fed once she steps down in late January, early February. So the markets didn't even do any hiccup or anything. We'll see if they start raising rates again, the Fed. This will create a bubble in the bond market, and that is the largest market in the world. So that's not good for being immune in any investment in paper.
Sure. Remind us some of the great newsletters and white papers that you have that people can get by calling Landmark Capital. It's 844-879-8882. What are some of those papers, real quick, David?
One's called He Owns the Gold, Makes All the Rules, which is a monthly newsletter free of charge. We don't give out your email, and you're not going to be obliterated with emails, just once a month. And we have a white paper called The Coming Bail-In, How to Protect Yourself from the Financial Calamity That Might Be Coming.
Yep, as well as having your IRA having physical metals and taking possession with no tax liability. 844-879-8882 or landmarkgold.com. David, thanks so much for being with us today.
Happy Thanksgiving. God bless.
Thanks, pal. You too. We'll talk again real soon. Okay, friends. God willing. We'll talk to you soon.